104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake-Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grass or shore, don't get your money's worth. Radio show, it happened at a ride. You gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. This is your host, Michael Nolan. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. If you're not aware of it, today is Saturday, June 29th, 2019. We have just a couple more days till the end of June. It'll be July, and we'll be entering more or less the second half of 2019. And don't forget, my birthday is July 13th, so be sure to send all those presence up here at the radio station for me. Hey, we've had a great week here at the university, and we've had some really, really fun announcements and exciting announcements. The main one is that the main campus in Guadalajara has given 60 million pesos for new outreach for the campus in Tomazlan. As you know, the campus in Tomazlan was started in 2015. The government of Jalisco and the small town gave 50 hectares for them to begin a campus. They did that. They had two bachelor's degrees, business administration and also tourism. And the first year they started off with 80 students. 2016, they added law, psychology, and education. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the university now has donated another good chunk of money, and they're building some more classroom buildings. They're also going to be adding four or five different majors. So it's really, really great for that area. As you know, it's about 65 miles south of Puerto Vallarta, north of Manzanillo, about the same distance. And this is really, really important because in that area, there has been no higher education more than high school for forever. This is going to save the people, the local students, the local area, a lot of money over the years. They're no longer going to have to come to Guadalajara or Colima or Puerto Vallarta to go to higher education, to go to the university. So they're going to save a lot on having to pay expenses to go out of town every day if they have to drive back and forth here or to Colima. They're going to be able to save money on rent, transportation, food. So this is just another way that the university has found to help the local community in many, many ways and to give an opportunity for all the people that live in that area of the state of Jalisco to get a higher education. We're really, really proud to be part of that community, part of that state, and we want to say thank you very much to all the officials at the University of Guadalajara, and especially in that area of the community of Thomas Lawn to allow us to reach out to the community and be more successful as a university and help educate the people in that area of the state. I want to mention right now that on July 3rd at 11 a.m. in the main auditorium here on campus, the SWAM program is going to be having their graduation. This year we've had, or this semester we've had over 400 students, and we're very, very happy to be able to celebrate with them their completion of the courses that they have successfully graduated from this semester. If you're not familiar with the SWAM program, what it is, Dr. Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado 5 years ago started it. It's an opportunity for anyone over 60 years of age to come here on campus and take one of 30 or 31 different classes. The classes range from two different levels of English for the Spanish speakers, two different levels of Spanish for the English or anybody else that wants to learn to speak Spanish, and then we also have beginner's French. Of course, we also have photography, computers, business administration, basic law. We have all types of physical fitness such as Tai Chi, yoga, Pilates, calisthenics, swimming. If you want to get more of an education in something like history of the Bay of Banderas, history of the country of Mexico, world history, we offer those. There's very, very many different types of classes you can take, and we highly urge, if you have a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt and uncle, friends that are over 60 that would like to come up here to the campus, take classes. They're free, they're open to the public, and we highly encourage everybody to please come up and enroll. The next semester will be starting probably the first week of September, but you can start to enroll now. It'll be actually from July 3rd till classes begin. I don't have an exact date yet of what day they're going to start, but it'll probably be the first week in September. As I mentioned, it's free, it's open to the public, and anyone over 60 years of age is welcome to come up to the university and become part of the SWAM program. Also want to mention from July 2nd to the 24th, the university is going to be holding different type of activities for children. As you know, most of the younger children are out of school at that time. So if you're looking for something to do with the kids, you can bring them up here to the university. There's all types of different activities, sports, events. I know they're going to have soccer. They're going to have swimming, all types of physical activities. They're going to have art, sciences, and many, many other things that will keep them busy all day long. You can either pack a lunch and bring it with the kids, or we have the different restaurants here on campus that they can eat at. But it's going to be for children from 5 to 15 years of age. As I mentioned, the enrollment starts on July 3rd, and the program will run from the first week in July all the way through the 24th. The different classes have different costs. They begin for the full term at 600 pesos and go up to 1,000 pesos. So depending on how many activities the kids want to participate in, will determine the cost. So please, be sure if you know any kids in your neighborhood or if you have children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews that you want to have come up to the campus on a daily basis, have a lot of fun, enjoy their time here on campus, learn a lot, please come up and enroll them. You can do so by coming to the main campus here in Puerto Vallarta, or you can go to the website and find out all the details. Of course, the website information is www.cuc.udg.mx. Again, that's www.cuc.udg.mx. So please, if you need any more information about the SWAM program, the Children's Outreach Program, or anything else that you want to know about the university, the dates of enrollment for this coming up semester, which I believe, I don't have an exact date yet, but I believe it's going to be sometime around August 26th. That hasn't quite been determined yet. It's either going to be the 26th or 27th. They're not sure exactly. But anyway, go to the university website and find out all the information you need to. Well, we still haven't gotten very much rain in the Bay of Banderas area. I was talking to our meteorologist a couple days ago, and he said it should be here any day. We do know that it has rained a little bit down around the Botanical Gardens, Conchichina area, and some in downtown, but it still hadn't really worked its way up to the Midtown and Nuevo Vallarta or Sayulita or Pancho, San Pancho yet. But it's about the time that the rainy season will start, and as you know, when it rains here, it really rains hard. We can have as much as 10, 11 inches per day. If you are down the Romantic Zone or down in the Old Town, right in the base of the foothills, you know that it's going to come down those mountain or those foothills really, really hard. So be sure when it's raining to watch where you're going. The cobblestone sidewalks down there are not very easy to walk on in dry conditions. When there's a lot of rain coming down the mountains and washing at your feet, it's even more dangerous. So please be very, very careful. If you're parking down there, if you're on one of the two first streets in from the marina or the bay, be very, very careful because the water there can rise up to at least 2 or 3 feet, and you don't want to have a lot of water in your car. So when it does start raining here any day now, be very, very careful. Hey, I want to mention about a real exciting event that's coming up on July 6th at the Plaza Lazario Cardenas. It's going to be the third annual Mango Fest. I believe it's going to start around 2 o'clock in the afternoon and go till 10 o'clock or so. This is the third annual. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's everything mango. They have all types of drinks, all types of food. You can just come and sit down and have some mangoes themselves. Entertainment, music, dancing. It's a whole lot of fun. They make all types of different foods. From cakes, pies, there's even one company come down and mixes mangoes in with their hamburger meat and then makes hamburgers. They're really, really great. They make mango tamales. They make mango tacos. And, of course, there's all types of music, as I mentioned, and dancing, as always. So please be sure to plan on your calendar to go to the third annual Mango Fest. It's July 6th. At Plaza Lazario Cardenas. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back with a little bit more information. I've got several interviews today that I think you'll be interested in hearing, so be sure to go get your pencil and paper. Have something to write all this information down, and you may learn something. Once again, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in to the University of Guadalajara Radio. Please be sure to go to the university website at www.cuc.udg.mx and find out all the information about the happening events here on campus. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. I had someone call in while we were on break, wanting to know if I would repeat the university website one more time, a little slower. So it is www.cuc.udg.mx. So please go to the university website and check out all the exciting things that are happening here at the university. You'll have a lot of fun. Again, thank you very much for tuning in. I've got an interview now with a couple of gentlemen that, believe it or not, I told you last week it was going to be an out-of-this-world conversation. First of all, I want to introduce Leroy and Miller to the show. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be here.
Good to be heard.
These two gentlemen I've known for a little while, and they have both had out-of-this-world experiences. Believe it or not, they both claim to be abducted by aliens. And the reason I thought I'd have them on the show, I think it's a fantastic conversation and a very mysterious topic. About a year ago, I've told this story several times ago. My wife has an aunt that has been a Catholic nun for 66 years. And she lives up in a very remote part of Mexico. And there's a convent there, and it's basically for retired nuns, ladies that have dedicated their entire life to serving God. Most of them are teachers. Some work in hospitals. But they basically, and of course, they all work in church. And they've dedicated their lives for many, many years. And I was spending time with one of my wife's aunts. She has four of them. And the one that's been a Catholic nun for, like I said, 60-some-odd years asked me, do you believe in aliens? Do you believe in people from outer space? Me being American, she wanted to know what my opinions were of that. And I said, well, I do believe that the universe is an unbelievably large place. Thousands and thousands, if not millions, of other planets and stars up in the solar system. And of course, there's many, many, many universes from what the different people tell us, the astrophysicists and the NASA people and all that. And she said, well, the reason I'm asking you is because several years ago, her and four or five of the other nuns were sitting at the convent in the middle of the evening, which was probably about 8:30 in the evening for them. The sky just lit up. It was just nothing but light. And they didn't know why. They thought maybe it was a lightning storm or something. So they all went outside and sat on the porch of the convent, which, as I mentioned, is in a very, very remote, very small village in Mexico. And yet the sky just continued to light up until it was full, just like it was in the daytime. And they saw a big dark figure come into the ground area about 150 yards from where they were sitting. It sat there, and they said it hovered for about 15 minutes. It just basically blackened everything that they could see on the other side. There were trees, and she said there's even a lake up there that you can see on normal time, but she said it just disappeared from their view, and it just got dark. They couldn't see any farther than this darkness, but yet it had light all around it. And she continued to tell me this story, and then it basically ascended to the ground and stayed there for several hours. And then they saw more light kind of in the middle of the darkness and different figures coming out. It's basically, she's telling me a story of a UFO coming down from the sky, and then creatures coming out of it. They were too petrified and too scared. They started praying, and she said their conclusion was that they were being visited by an entity of God, that he had sent something like the Lady of Guadalupe to visit them and thank them for their service, and they just continued praying. And they said that this actually sat there for several hours. A lot of them fell asleep. A lot of them got scared and went into the convent, shut the doors and all, everything, thinking they'd be contacted in some way. But she says eventually it just went away. They all sat and talked to each other. Did we imagine this? Was this a vision? What did it mean? And she said it was basically the topic of conversation for the convent for over 2 weeks. They contacted other local villagers or people that came to the church. They had a small church there at the convent. And many of the people that lived in the surrounding area saw the exact same thing, but from different angles. They all had different stories. And many of the village and the native people, they were very, very scared. They were afraid. But the Catholic nuns and the priest came, and he convinced them that it was from God, that it was a vision, like the Lady of Guadalupe coming to Juan Diego many, many, many years ago over near Mexico City. So they took it as a really, really good thing. They weren't afraid. Like they said, they thought it was a vision from God, so they weren't afraid. They just prayed about it. And she, you know, she's been a Catholic nun for 60-some-odd years, and I totally believe her. She wasn't the only one there that was telling the exact same story. Like I said, there were quite a few older, retired nuns that saw the exact same thing. So I don't know where you come from this. I don't know if you believe in them. The astrophysicists that I had on my show a couple of months ago when they had the huge conference and convention here, I asked them point blank, do you believe in UFOs? And they said, we know there's got to be other life out there, as many planets, as many other spheres that are in the universe or in the sky, solar system. There has to be something living. We don't know. We don't actually have any proof. But we believe that there's other intelligence out there. As I mentioned earlier, these two men claim that they've had out of Earth experiences. So anyway, I'm going to give them a couple minutes and let them tell their stories. One quick short note. President Donald Trump was interviewed a couple weeks ago by a very famous NBC reporter named George Stephanopoulos. He used to actually be the press secretary for Bill Clinton. And he asked him, he said, okay, Donald Trump, you're the president. You have privilege to all information, all classified, all unclassified, everything. You're the president. Have you looked and seen if they're UFOs? Does the government have proof? You know, out in Roswell, New Mexico in the 50s, they say that there was a UFO crash, and you know the story. But anyway, President Trump basically said, well, our Navy pilots and our Air Force pilots have been reporting an awful lot of unidentified things that they see for many, many years. He said, I personally have not seen anything or any files that state, yes, we have a crashed spacecraft from outer space hidden in Area 54 or blah, blah, blah. He actually didn't say anything that he had seen any proof of president. But there's thousands of people, like the gentleman I have here, that claim that they've had some type of experience. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a little bit of your information and kind of how your close encounter of the third kind happened.
Well, thank you, Mike. My experience started on the golf course. I was playing late one afternoon, early evening. I noticed a lot of, appeared to be space, some type of flying vessels around me. I didn't think anything of it because we have the Air Force base nearby, and I figured they're out just doing some training exercises. After a few of the vessels went by, I began to question this because the jets, F-16s, fly by so fast. And I caught a couple of what I appeared to be some type of space vessel hovering nearby the trees over which hole I was playing. And I finally concluded that it was just a weather balloon. So I dismissed it, kept playing a little bit longer. It seemed like they were following me. And I thought now I was just being paranoid, so I was trying to concentrate on my golf game.
How big were these things?
From a distance, I thought they were actually just oversized drones.
Okay. Well, there are many, many of those these days. And how long ago did this happen to you?
This was last summer.
Okay, so last summer. Well, there are hundreds of drones, if not thousands. They've really become popular. And some of them are very small. I mean, not much bigger, maybe 10, 12, 15 inches in circumference. And then some, I've seen some like Amazon, the ones that they have that deliver package, they're quite a bit bigger. And I've actually been told that they use a lot of them in construction. I know the real estate industry uses an awful lot of them with big cameras and you know, they do tours of houses or land developments or whatever, so people can go online and actually take a virtual tour. So tell us a little bit more. Did they land? So,
You know, when you say, and I thought maybe drones, you know, I thought maybe just something new that companies had come out with that maybe the public like me was not aware of.
Yeah.
And so after a few more minutes of playing and kind of keeping oversight on them, one of them began to hover over me. And this really kind of freaked me out, caught my attention. And all I can remember is I remember hearing very loud shrieking sounds and bright lights, which evidently blacked me out.
Okay.
And I woke up several hours later because it was dark, and you don't play golf in the dark, and I was relocated on a different part of the golf course.
Oh, wow. So do you have any idea? You said it was late afternoon. When you woke up, it was dark, so it had to be several hours later?
Several hours.
And do you know what happened?
I have a vague recollection of some figures, dark, tall figures, and I caught something they might have been from Orc Erica.
Okay.
They were calling me Nad.
Nad.
They were trying to convert me. I'm not sure. I was just totally freaked out. Of course, I didn't tell anyone that because all of the non-believers.
Yeah.
But there was indentions in the golf course.
Oh, really?
Where evidently their craft had landed, and my golf clubs were never to be seen again.
Oh, so they took your golf clubs?
I think they were trying to get additional information about Earth.
Wow. Well,
that was my experience.
Did you ever have any flash? I mean, you like you said, you kind of blacked out. You really don't know what happened.
I had bad dreams for a few days after that.
Yeah. Well, how do you resolve what happened now? Was it a dream? Did you believe you were really? What do you believe now happened?
I'm going to claim that it was heat stroke and somebody stole my golf clubs.
Well, that could be very much. You could have just passed out from the heat and blacked out. I had a very good friend many years ago that was actually playing golf in Oklahoma, and he was hit by lightning and killed. And the guy that was playing with him, he was, of course, maybe 50, 60 feet away from him. He said it was just incredible. He said that he was shocked. Of course, he lost a very, very close friend, but he said he was more shocked from just the lightning hitting so close to him that, you know, it freaked him out for a long, long time. But he didn't know what happened for the first couple of minutes. You know, you're just walking down the fairway and all of a sudden, zap, and, you know, it's a huge, he said it was just an incredible sound. And the earth shattered. The light was so bright he couldn't see anything for a long time. He could feel a lot of heat. And then finally, he said it took him 2 or 3 minutes to recover his senses. And then he looked over, and his friend's body was laying on the ground, and all of his fingers, he couldn't see his toes, but his golf cleats had more or less blown off his feet from the heat and, I guess, the power, and unfortunately, the person was dead.
And that's the bad thing. I have no physical evidence that the incident occurred.
So there wasn't any punctures? They didn't probe your body or anything? Or
not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, like you
but
said, you
other than
out.
The physical evidence on the golf course.
And there was some indentions, like
yes.
Black marks or something like that?
There was 4 distinct indentions in the golf course.
But you haven't had any other visitations from them or anything like that?
Evidently, I didn't have anything to offer to them.
Well, you know, some people...
They've been supreme beings and of intelligence.
Some people say that they revisited. Some people say years go by that they black out like you did, and they wake up, and it's several years later.
I've stayed away from that golf course.
Well, I don't blame you. Well, that's a pretty exciting story.
It is. It was near one of the military bases, so maybe that's why they were in the area was...
It could be.
For scientific purposes. That was my experience, Mike.
How about your experience, sir? Do you mind telling us a little bit about what happened to you?
Well, what happened to me was about 13 and a half months ago.
Okay, so basically around the same time, a year or so ago.
I had my two dogs, Jasmine and Sophie, and we were going to go down to the pond and go fishing. I had a big old bucket of chicken livers, and we started walking down there. And I'll tell you this, we are in the flight line of a major Air Force base in Oklahoma. And we were walking down to the pond, and then all of a sudden, a real bright light appeared, and the dogs cowered out, and they ran away. I haven't seen my dogs.
They never did come back. Well, if you only say animals have way more
I miss my dogs. I cannot find my... They might have taken my dogs.
So they didn't take you? They didn't bother you? You just think... Well, what do you mean when you say they? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, there was about three or four dark figures. They had lime green kind of pustules by their eye, where the eyes would have been, and they kind of... They had a big brown eyelash thing that kind of came over it, but my dogs are gone.
Your dog's gone. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Jonathan, tell me we're going to take a break, but I want to get back and talk a little bit more.
I want to find my dogs.
Okay, well, we'll look at that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show in just a couple minutes.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Stars that fill the midnight sky, her memory fills.
Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show. You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Pretty smart, but you got being right down to an art. You think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall. You're regular original, I know it all. Oh, you think you're special. Oh, you think you're something else. Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me.
Shania Twain, beautiful song that doesn't impress me much, but the two gentlemen I have in studio today, they are impressing me. They both have stories. They're talking about close encounters of the third kind, and I'm going to go back to you. Sir, you were telling me about that you were going down to a pond to go fishing with your dogs, and all of a sudden bright lights and stuff came, and you lost your dogs. You never did find them. The bodies never turned up. You don't think they were in the pond, or they ran off, or they got scared of the light or the lightning or whatever it was?
I think they might have taken my dogs.
You think they took your dogs and they didn't take you? Or,
no,
or did you wake up later on, or what happened?
I woke up. I mean, I felt a tremendous amount of heat on my brain, and I woke up the next. It was probably about a day and a half later.
I
didn't have very many clothes on, and my chicken livers were gone.
Well,
my chicken livers were gone, and my dogs were gone.
The chicken livers what you use for bait to fish,
but
right?
I seemed to have smelled quite a bit of things coming. I don't know if they might have taken my chicken livers and cooked them on their ship or what, but I could smell some of that. around, but I still haven't found my dogs.
Well, let's talk about the first gentleman we talked to. He said they left some evidence on the golf course, like burnt spots and the golf club. I mean, it sounds funny. They took his golf clubs. He never found those. They took your chicken livers and your dogs.
So yeah, they took my dogs.
Well, they could have run off them dogs because they had legs. Golf clubs can't get up and run off.
My dogs have been with me for over 8.5 years. My dogs wouldn't leave on their own.
Well, who knows about that? Tell me, I'm more concerned about the personal or interested in the personal experience. You woke up a day and a half later. Was there any, your clothes, part of your clothes were gone?
I had nothing but my Tommy Johns on.
Oh, okay. Tommy Johns, he was a baseball pitcher for the Yankees, wasn't he? You mean your long underwear, your long johns?
No, these are the short kind that have elastic on them.
Oh, okay. Under Armours, or underwear, basically.
Anyway, that I think it had something to do with they were hungry.
I don't know. You know, but did you see them? Did you see any
creatures? I told you I saw them. They had the lime green eyes. They had the brown eyebrows. And they, you know.
Did they have 2 eyes, 4 eyes, 6 eyes?
No, it was one that kind of went into two. It was like a cyclop kind of deal. But
what about the rest of their body? Did they have feet? Did they have arms? How many?
Well, they were slimy. They were a little bit on the slimy side.
And how big were they?
Well, they were about 14 and a half inches tall.
So they're little tiny guys.
Well, they weren't really big.
Well,
and you didn't I don't see how they got my dogs.
How many were there?
Well, there was, I think there must have been at least three, and they were pretty strong.
Yeah.
Because they could pick me up.
They picked you up, and you were conscious this whole time while they picked
well,
you up.
Well, then something they I don't know what they did.
They drug you? I mean, they inject you with anything, or they just look at you and you're
I had two triangular puncture wounds in my neck.
Really?
And, yeah, they were about the size of a little bit smaller than a dime.
But
and I don't know, you know, I don't know what they
did
were
it bleed?
Going.
I mean, you discovered that after, of course, when you woke up.
Well, they
you really don't
they
know.
They caused kind of a burning sensation.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Well, and have you had any other visits or any other effects? I mean, you did
well,
your health
my
go
wife,
down?
Well, my wife, Helen.
Yeah?
Yeah, her our last name's Waite. Helen Waite. You know, that's my wife. And I told her, I was sitting there going, I ain't seen nothing like it in my life. And she was really upset that our dogs were gone and I didn't catch any fish and I didn't come home for a day and a half. And when I had these triangular marks on my neck, this was hard to explain.
Well, I imagine being gone a day and a half. I know if I was gone my day and a half, my wife would have a party.
Well, you just got to go to Helen Waite and ask her, and she would have told me that she didn't believe very much of my story. Not have a camera on me.
I don't want to get into the marriage situation with you and your wife. That's y'all's business. But I want to know more about the UFO. So you haven't had any more visits, or you didn't have any? Did your health go up and down? You said you had the puncture marks. Did they go away quickly, or?
They finally went away. They were very similar to hickeys back that used to get in high school.
Well, I never did. I went to Catholic school, so we never had those. But anyway, you haven't had any more visits or anything like that. You don't feel like you were you don't have anything like you were spinning around in outer space or anything like that?
You know, Mike, I really don't intend and I really don't look forward to any more close encounters like that.
Okay. Leo, anything else about your other encounter you had on the golf course? Have you had anything else, or do you know of anybody else? Have you talked to anybody, any professionals about this? Did anybody contact you? You said you're pretty quiet about it.
I haven't talked to very many people, and I sure hope it don't happen again.
Well, I appreciate you coming here. Like I said, this all started I've had interest, you know, we all have for many, many years. You know, I was born in 54, and I guess that Roswell, New Mexico sighting was in the early 50s, earlier than that. You know, the military claimed they weren't doing anything special, this, that, and the other. But many of the town people in the area of Roswell, New Mexico also claimed There were some old retired military people years and years and years later said that they were on the probe and they worked in Area 54. Or is it 51? I don't know what area it was, but they apparently worked there. And, you know, like I said, this all started for me when I, you know, I as a kid and all that, you watch a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows, but that's Hollywood. But when my wife's aunt came and started talking to me, she's never been out of Mexico. She's never been to the United States or anywhere else. So me being an American, she wanted to know if I had ever had any thing like that. And so I was kind of, you know, if it was anybody else, I might not believe the story so much, but she had such graphic details.
We put up two crosses for my dogs.
Right, oh, did there. You we're, really?
You bet. They're right there by the pond.
Well, you know, she was a Catholic nun. She's been a Catholic nun. She's still alive. And I think she's been a Catholic nun now for probably 67 or 8 years. I know several years ago I went to Guadalajara, and it's been a while, and we celebrated her 65th year as a Catholic nun, and it was unbelievable. She was ordained a Catholic nun in the exact same church, the Catholic church she was baptized in when she was a little tiny baby. So it had a lot of sentimental value for her. And I've never seen so many nuns in my life. I think there's probably 150 Catholic nuns or different denominations of sisters came, and we had a huge, huge reception. It was quite a thing. But when she asked me about the UFOs, we were in a car, and she had her other two sisters there, and she had confined, of course, and I mean biological sisters, two other of my wife's aunts, and of course, she had told them the story a lot of times, and they were really, you know, she thinks it's a vision from God. That's what all the nuns decided. So I'd heard about you two gentlemen. You'd both had different episodes at different times in your lives, and it's interesting to hear your story. Is there anything else in closing you'd like to say? I know you're missing your dogs, and I don't think we can replace your dogs here on the radio show. We do have a lot of people here. I know you're not from the Bay of Banderas. You mentioned you're from Oklahoma. So when you go back there, maybe you haven't replaced your dogs. You're hoping they'll come back someday.
No, I don't plan on seeing my dogs again. I haven't seen them for 13 and a half months.
Okay, well, they're gone. They doggone. That's all I can say.
Well, Helen's upset.
Well, okay. Buy your wife a horse or something, or a diamond ring. That'll even be better. How about you, Leo? You got anything else to close?
I hope NASA or somebody can do more research to figure out what the heck's going on.
You don't think they're doing it already?
I believe they are, but they're not sharing it.
Well, there's a lot goes on through our governments that we don't understand.
We read a lot of reports, so it's happening.
So you honestly believe there are UFOs and there are unidentified objects flying around? And
did you get UFOs? The triangular hickeys like I got?
No, mine's a straight puncture.
Oh, you didn't tell me about your punctures. You hadn't went to my again?
They just look like a little irritation.
Huh. And you haven't had any physical effects since then?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to say thank you very much for sharing your time. I hope it never happens to you again. Like I said, I've never had anything like that. I did. I got to tell you something. I was driving in south Texas, kind of between Laredo and, I guess it'd have to be Zapata, about 15 years ago when I was working the oil patch. And I saw something it looked like it was about a mile up in the sky. And I thought it was an airplane flying because there are some big military bases in South Texas. It was silver. And I was driving down the road and I saw something. I thought it was an airplane. But then it didn't move. It didn't move. I was going down the highway and I drove 4 or 5 miles and it was still right there with me the whole time. And I thought, what the? Well, I pulled off the road, and I drove towards it. And the closer I got, I guess my first thought was like 15 miles away. The closer I got, it still wasn't moving. Still wasn't moving. Well, I ran out of highway. I was on a dirt road. And then I came against a great big ranch fencing. I couldn't go past that, so I kind of tried to find another road to go around. Well, long story short, what it was, I did finally find some farm workers that were working there on this ranch. And the United States government has some giant, like, balloons. They're pure silver. They're made out of some type of metallurgy that floats. It's kind of like a balloon. and they're about as big as a football field. They're tethered down with 2 1-inch steel cables, and these guys are telling me this story. They said they're about 2,000 feet off the ground, and they just hover there. And they said from the Arizona coast, they don't have any in California, because California doesn't want them. I don't know how the federal they override the federal government from there, but all the way down to McAllen and right down around the Port Isabel, Texas, which is on the very, very far east border of the United States and Mexico before you hit the Gulf of Mexico. About every 40 miles, they have these huge, giant floating balloons with every type of radar in the world in them. And what they do is they track low-flying planes that try and fly below the radar, bringing in narcotics or bringing in illegals or bringing in whatever. And this is part of the defense system for the United States on the southern border. And that's what I was seeing. I was seeing a government balloon with radars and detectors and things like that that, you know, were there to keep you safe. So anyway, but I didn't see a UFO.
Mike, do we get our parking ticket validated?
Well, yeah, I'll make sure your parking ticket's validated. We don't have parking tickets. I guess you just had to register.
Well, I had a slip that they gave me when drove my truck in here.
Well, I know. I understand, but we'll see what we can do.
I didn't know if you could punch it for me.
I'll punch it. I promise that. Leroy, I'm going to say thank you very much. I want to say thank you very much to you. I hope your wife is better. Helen?
Helen will be fine.
She
can wait. Helen can always wait.
Okay, well, I want to say thank you very much. We're going to have to take another break. Gentlemen, thank you for the information. I hope everything goes good for you. And if you're listening and you've had a close encounter of a third kind, if you have been abducted like these two gentlemen kind of have, if you have any experiences with UFOs, give me a call. Maybe we'll put you on a show here. It's a good opportunity for another show here in the future. But anyway, okay, we're going to have to take a break. Again, gentlemen, thank you very much for the time you shared with our listening audience. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. Guillermo Luna of the Nuevo Vallarta Fishing. As we mentioned earlier, the website is www.nuevovallartafishing.mex, and they are located here at the Puerto Vallarta Marina.
At Nuevo Vallarta.
Nuevo Vallarta, inside the Paradise Village Resort.
Yes.
Mr. Luna, thank you for being on the radio show.
Oh, you're welcome. Say hi to your auditorium.
Thank you very much. We've had a fantastic morning fishing. We had some really, really good luck with the Dorado. But, as I mentioned, Captain Miguel was a fabulous captain. Took us right to the fish, and I think we threw the first hook in the water, and within 2 or 3 minutes had a fish on line. So you can't beat that. And from what I understand with Dick Markey, my friend who's the harbor master here, and the other guys that I know that live here in the marina, y'all have a lot of success. All the people you take out end up bringing fish back in.
We have very good crew. The captains are the best, and they've been doing that forever. It's about the only job they had, so
well,
they like it very much.
Captain Miguel's been doing it. He's 50. He's 71, been doing it 50 years.
That's right.
You can't have much more experience than that.
No, everybody likes Miguel. He finds the fish.
Well, you all have so much more than fishing here. You have kayaks. You have stand-up paddle boards.
Yes.
What else do y'all have? Jet skis?
Well, we have sightseeing trips on the boat, like snorkeling trips, whale watching on the season. And we go to the hidden islands, like Marietas Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Jet skis, jet ski rentals, parasailing, stand-up paddleboard. So, fishing.
Fishing and whale watching in season?
Yes.
That's what, November, December? December, January, February?
It starts on December. All the way to March.
It's kind of when the whales want to come, right?
Yes.
It's not a planned season for them.
It's like the coldest here for us, and it's warm for the whales. So it's a lot of whales. It's fun to go out over there. We do combinations as well, like whale watching for a little bit and then go fishing.
And so, also fishing and snorkeling.
Snorkeling,
you can
yes.
do meetings. They will customize a package for you.
That's correct.
No matter what your wants out here. I'm sure, just talk to Guillermo or any of his staff. You can call them at 322-226-6770,
yes.
extension 6503.
Yes, correct.
And any other numbers you want to give out?
This one is my personal cell phone number. It's 322-105-0061. You
okay.
can call me anytime. Yeah, and we can book it.
Well, that's when they call every time. Let's do it within business hours. Just don't call you midnight.
Oh, yeah.
unless we need to go get a bail or something to get out of jail. But it's Nuevo Vallarta Fishing. It is nuevovallartafishing.mx. And they're here 365 days a year. Do y'all ever close
yes.
down?
No. It's
no.
open. We're open every day. We go out every day. So, well, if it's good weather, you know, big waves, we don't go out. Or
well, that's understandable. Because safety's number one.
Yes.
It's very important. They're really
yes.
conscientious about safety.
Yes.
And we mentioned all the different things they did. The parasailing, that's one thing I've never done.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure.
Well, you're welcome to try it.
I'm not really sure I want to go up there.
well, this is the safest way to parasail.
Okay.
And we group them up to 8 people. Everybody gets on the boat here at the marina, which is very safe. Give instructions, harness, life vest. We go out, and right in front of the hotel, we take off from the boat, and then we start riding, just going touring like north side, and then come back and land in front of our hotel, land on the boat.
It's much safer on the boat than it is off the shore, right?
Yes.
I've actually seen people up here on the beach that try and take off, and they trip and fall down, and then they're in
yes,
trouble.
Exactly.
And being on the boat over the water, that's the best way. At least if you're going to land, you're going to land in water.
Yeah. In case, yeah, for safety, or if we see, like, woods or something on the water, and we have to slow down, or safety, yeah, on the water. But it's very safe. We can, you know, sail like we follow the wind.
Okay,
so
it's not a smart idea.
It's not like we have to, like on the beach, they have to wait for certain type of wind. And then here it's different.
Well, you're already moving, so you have some wind already
yeah,
at
exactly.
your back. You also have kayaks.
Yes.
And you have jet skis.
Yes.
And you have just a whole synopsis of different types of water activities.
Yes, we try to give a variety for the resort guests and also for people who likes to come over.
Like me, locals.
Oh, yes, locals are very welcome.
And you can also book online. You can go to the website, pre-book your fishing trip or your snorkeling trip or whatever you want.
Yes.
And the rates are very, very reasonable.
Yes, we keep it.
And it's a lot of fun. The good people, they're very friendly. Most all the captains, everybody speak English.
Yes, all of them.
Very helpful. They filleted our fish for us this morning. None of us had to cut our fingers off or anything. So we're happy about that.
All right.
But I just want all the listeners, if you want to have a really, really fun day, now you have any trips from 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours?
Yes,
whatever we want, you'll do for us, right?
Exactly.
Custom trips.
Yes.
And that's always a lot of fun. So be sure to call Guillermo Luna at 322-226-6770 extension 6503. Or you can call him, that's the best way.
Yes,
322-105-0061.
Yes.
And of course it is www.nuevovallartafishing.mx.
Yes.
Guillermo, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Appreciate that you guys book with us and you have fun.
We had a great time. Thank you for hosting us. It was a fabulous trip. And I want all my listeners to be sure, if you want to go out and have a fun day out on the shore, out on the beach, in the Marietas. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
That's a beautiful place.
Oh, it's nice.
Really nice.
Yeah. Now, it requires a special permit. We have one that allows us to go in once a week. Only 6 spaces.
It's
very restricted area, but it's very protected, which we like. And we take 6 people just once a week.
What are they going to do with the island where the prison was? Do you know anything about that?
No,
our new president, Alamo, says he's going to do something, make it a touristy deal.
Yeah, now they're about to change that. I think they're closing that jail, and they're going to build something touristic for Grand Mayan or something.
Or Vendetta.
They've been doing, and a lot of people goes there all the way out there to fish.
How far is that?
It's about 90 miles away.
90 miles. Well,
it's a long trip, but it's fun as well.
It is. Well, I want to say thank you very much again for taking the time to be on the show. And again, contact him, Guillermo Luna, and he'll arrange a great trip and a lot of fun. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. Thank you for Guillermo talking about the fishing trip. Earlier, I was talking about things to do with kids this summer. They are also having a big summer camp 2019, and there's going to be 3 different sessions from July 8th through the 12th, 15th through the 19th, and the 22nd through 26th. So if you're looking for something to do with your kids, it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to take them out, and they're going to learn how to do sailing, fishing, paddle boarding, jet skiing. So there's another opportunity for you to go out and spend some fun time with your kids, enjoy the ocean that we all live on. Also, I want to mention that there's going to be an international fishing tournament here in the Bay of Banderas from July 18th through the 20th. This is going to be an international festival with huge grand prizes for marlin, tuna, and other types of sailfish, other types of fish. So if you are a diehard fisherman, a professional fisherman, or just a guy that goes out 3 or 4 times a year like myself and want to enter this contest, you can do so. You can go online and find out a lot more information. And I mean, some of the grand prizes, we're talking like 150,000 pesos, 80,000 pesos, 50,000. So anyway, as everybody knows, we live on the biggest body of water in the world, so we might as well enjoy it. And I'm trying to give you some ideas on what to do with the kiddos this summer and how much to have fun. So anyway, I want to say thank you very much to him. We have another very, very interesting interview coming up in just a couple minutes. For a very, very needed project, I want you to get your pencil and paper if you haven't so far. Write down this important information. And please, please help this lady and this group of people help the children here in Puerto Vallarta. So we're going to take a break right now. We're going to play back our interview, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in this morning. I've got a very interesting guest this morning, Anna Marie Weiss. Anna, welcome to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
So nice to be with you today, Michael.
She is in charge of a very, very special project. We're calling it the School Bag Project. And before we get into it, I want to make sure you go get a pencil and paper. I'm going to stall for just a minute and let you get the things you're going to need to write down, this information, because it's contact information for her, and it's very important, and we need all you listeners to be involved because it helps children. And again, thank you very much for coming. Welcome. If you don't mind, give a short bio of yourself, and then we'll get talking about the project and some other things, okay?
Well, Michael, I was born in Missouri, not far from Oklahoma, which was home to you. And like a lot of other Americans, I wanted to see the world. So I had a Fulbright scholarship in 1968 and came to Mexico for a year. You're much younger than me, but maybe some of the other listeners will remember 68, 69 was the year of student protests around the world.
Exactly right. I was at Harvard in Boston a couple weeks ago, and they have a very special exposition all about that year. And it was also the year of Woodstock. It was also the year of the problem in Mexico City with all the students. It was, of course, the Democratic Convention. 69 was a very, very important year. That was I became a freshman in high school in 69. So I'm not that young. But, I mean, it was an unbelievable exposition, but that's just a little sidebar. I throw a lot of sidebars in. I kind of get off track all the time, but that's just how my show is.
Well, and I was thrown into the middle of it in September, a month before the Olympics opened in Mexico City, and just before the Tlatelolco massacre of students, and I was very innocent, had a lot to learn.
It was also the summer of Woodstock.
Well, but that was, you know, not my scene. Was that your scene, Michael?
Yeah,
you
it was.
Well?
Yeah.
So that was my first major international experience, and then I married someone from the Middle East, a very bright, hardworking young man, and we went back to live in his country and in Saudi Arabia, in Damascus, Syria, and in Saudi Arabia, where they were just, it was like the Western frontier.
That's a long way from Missouri.
It's a very, and
culture shock.
Lots to learn. Black veils and just a whole different perspective on life, as was Mexico. So I suppose you could label me an international. So in Dallas, when we were transferred back to the U.S., by our employers, I founded a nonprofit that connected all the internationals in Dallas and sort of served as their international center. We discovered that 44% of the residents of Dallas-Fort Worth were foreign-born.
Wow.
Or their children. It was as international as New York City, Chicago, and Los Angeles, but they didn't have visibility. So it was easy to overlook that really very exciting population. Mm-hmm. You want to visit the Yoruba of Nigeria? One Christmas, I just walked in on the Yoruba community Christmas party. You want whatever culture you wanted to explore, you didn't have to get on a plane. And it's that way in many of our cities, and it's also to a great degree an option here in Puerto Vallarta. So that's my background. I speak several languages, and like others, I was so delighted that we were welcomed here.
And you moved here several years ago.
Yes.
And you live right down in the...
I live in Cinco right now, Cinco okay. de Diciembre. I started in the Centro, but...
You know, there's about 300 different barrios here in Puerto Vallarta area. We just started a mobile library program. We're going to have 6 buses. It's in conjunction with the University of Guadalajara here in Puerto Vallarta and also Biblioteca Los Mangos. There's only 3 permanent libraries. So with the help of the Transit Authority, we've got some old buses. We're revamping them into libraries, and we're going to be taking them into the different barrios 5 days a week, maybe 6 if we can get the drivers, and just let the kids be able to check out books and return them the next week. But there's an awful lot of barrios to go into, a lot of neighborhoods.
And there are a lot of kids who don't know what a library is.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because it was our Ben Franklin who established free libraries. In the old days, when America was founded, only rich men had libraries.
He also invented the printing press.
Right.
And the main
right.
university at the University of Guadalajara is named the Ben Franklin Library.
Well, I didn't
know
that.
Did you know that?
No. So many of us, like you, are looking for a way to give back to the community in a small way or a larger way. And whether it's libraries or education or dog rescue or working or volunteering out at the wonderful botanical gardens, well, we're really delighted that we've been welcomed in this way. Although our political history is maybe filled with conflicts between the two nations, on the human level, we really recognize each other just as brothers and sisters.
And the English-speaking community down here does so much as far as charities, giving, time, energy, altruism. It's just incredible what all they do here. And so a big shout-out to everybody that helps out. But you've got a very special project.
Well, before we get to that, can
okay.
I comment?
Sure.
In Mexican culture, which basically came from Spain, and Spain having been ruled for 800 years by Muslim culture, or Moorish culture.
And most people don't realize that.
Right. So for me, with Mexican cultural interest and Middle East, I see ties that perhaps others would miss. In the Middle East and in Spain and in Mexico, there really doesn't exist a sense of philanthropy and volunteerism as we have in the U.S. We're the greatest volunteers in the world. We give more hours to our communities than others in any other country. So this is something that I'm really delighted that we've been able to bring and suggest ways mm-hmm. to help handicapped children or whatever our own passion is, the wonderful botanical garden. Because that, well, in Mexico, if you wanted to help your neighbors, you do it through the church, traditionally. And that was a major power center. In fact, the church owned 55% of the land. But if you wanted to do it on a community level, there were not other options. So I'm so pleased that we're able to merge, blend, and share ideas in the nonprofit sense and at the community level.
You know, my wife is a doctor here at the university and born and raised in Guadalajara, many generations, family is there. And she's always questioning, why do the Americans, why the Canadians, why the experts give so much? You're exactly right. The Mexican culture isn't one to help others, but they're there to help their family. Now, my wife's family and most Mexican families will go 5 or 6, 7 cousins deep. But the person next door, if they're not their family, they don't help. And it's great in one way, but it's not in the other. But I do have to say one thing. Puerto Vallarta is such a melting pot. I think a lot of the Hispanics, a lot of the Mexicans are changing. I'm seeing over the last 5 years, they're getting more and more involved in all the different charities and organizations, trying to help more. And so that's a positive thing. I think we're rubbing off on them a little bit, if you can say that.
Absolutely.
And that's good. It's positive.
It's a blending of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the very positive thing for the whole region.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, you've started a project called the School Bag Project. And we're going to have to take a break here in just a minute. So we're going to go ahead and do it right now, if you don't mind. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to be talking with Anna Marie Wise. And she's going to get into the School Bag Project. And you can find out how you can help and be involved in this and what it's all about. So while we're taking our break, go get your pencil and paper. Whatever kind of other device you use to take notes on, and we're going to be right back and talk more about the project.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. Let's have a little talk at the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
of my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Anna Marie's wives, with the Vallarta Amigos.
Abuelos. Vallarta Abuelos.
And that's grandfather.
Yes, grandfathers and grandmothers.
Abuelos. Yes. That'd be grandparents in English.
Yes.
What would it be in Spanish?
Abuelos.
O-S. With an S.
Vallarta Abuelos.
Well, I'm an abuelo. Matter of fact, my two granddaughters just left 2 days ago. Came down from Phoenix for a week, and I want to say thank you to Volaris Airlines. Before, last couple of years, I've flown them down, and it was like $500, $550 a ticket. And the day they came down, the 16th of June, Volaris had just started service. It was the first day of service in the inaugural flight, $210 round trip.
Wow.
So I flew four people down here for what I used to fly one and a half for. So thank you, Volaris. I got a shout out to them because, I mean, now if you want to go up to the Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tucson, that part of the country, it's way cheaper than going than it used to be. So, you know, they're a discount airline, and I got to say a shout out to them because it saved me a bunch of money. Anyway.
Well, your grandchildren are in the States.
Yes.
And I have one granddaughter, and she's also in the States. And I have a big house and lots of grass and a jacuzzi, and so I decided to open the front doors, and all the neighbors that pass by, they're welcome to come in. The kids are welcome to come in, especially in the summer during vacation, and that's how I met the children and the mothers of my neighborhood.
Well, the schools here don't always give the kids everything they need for the best part of their education, mainly supplies. And that's what the school bag project is. You're trying, and I'm going to say what I think it is, and you tell me what it really is. Or you're trying to get school bags full of all kinds of supplies to give the kids out, to give them free. The kids have to pay no cost. All they have to do is come and get them.
Absolutely. We've formed a list. So far, we have about 250 children on the list. We ask the neighborhood leadership. Here we work through the police comandante and the presidenta, and then just our volunteers, they all know their neighbors. The children have started bringing other kids to the house to get them on the list.
Okay.
So that before school starts, we can give each child a very nice school bag, one that's durable and will last, filled with good supplies.
And you're looking to try and get this to supply 400 children.
Yes, I think it's possible. I know when I was new here, I looked for a way to become involved. I didn't want to regularly volunteer, but something where I could dip my finger in and make, add my little bit of sand, you know, just make a difference. So I like to do projects. At Christmas, we'll do another one, and we'll try to reach the same kids. But for now, since school's starting in August, we're hoping to give away school bags and supplies to 400 children. And the reason, of course, education is on the top of the list for all of us. But many of these kids are being raised by single moms.
Or grandparents.
Or grandparents.
Or aunts and uncles, things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. And we know that our new president raised the minimum wage, but that's to $5 American, not an hour, a
per day.
Day.
Per day.
Well, if you make $5 a day, it's very hard to afford a school bag, which costs 400 pesos, that's $20 and up. The lowest, the cheapest one I've seen anywhere in Walmart is 400 pesos. Then all the supplies, the notebooks, the pencils. In the States, we can go to the buy one, get one free sale or the dollar mm-hmm. store. And again, that option's not available here. That's why we decided to do the school bag project under the auspices of the Vallarta Abuelos.
And the cost for each bag full is about $12.50. And that's what you're asking people to donate. So this is a great opportunity for any of the corporate listeners, any of the businesses that are looking to give back to the community to help kids, to donate not just $12.50, but we're looking at maybe times 20 or 25 or 30 times that. These big resorts and hotels where all their employees are coming from local. So we're talking about your helping your employees' kids and the bus drivers, the taxis, the people that clean the hotel rooms, the restaurant workers. These are the local people, and these are who you're helping. So it's going to be very, very positive if you can donate some money and let Sarah and her group go out and buy all the supplies.
Actually, we're getting them wholesale.
That's great.
And American Airlines is shipping them in from the U.S.
So you're buying it all in the United States, which is probably a better deal, cheaper.
It's
an American.
A better deal, absolutely.
So we have to say thank you very much to American Airlines for throwing that in, to chipping it in and bringing it down here.
For a parent to buy the same items here would cost them $40, and they're making $5 a day, many of them. So for $12.50, we can give the children a $40 backpack filled with supplies. I should also mention we're a 501c3 registered in the States.
Okay.
So any corporate donation or any significant cash donation, I can give a tax receipt. And we would be grateful for any sort of donation. $50 will support four children, be ready for the first day of school. $100 will supply eight children with the backpack and supplies.
And people are going to spend that on margaritas and nachos in the next week.
And it's easy to find us on Facebook, Vallarta Abuelos.
Okay. Is there a phone number or anything else? Facebook's the best way to go. Do you have a website?
The website will be functioning soon. For the moment, only the Vallarta Abuelos, but my number is 972-965-5727. U.S. number 972-965-5727 or Vallarta Abuelos. Or look me up on Facebook, Anne Marie Weiss. Actually, it's Anne Marie Weiss in Mexico.
Okay. It's A-N-N-E M-A-R-I-E W-E-I-S-S.
In Mexico.
In Mexico.
Right. And Vallarta Abuelos.
Vallarta Abuelos. So that's a great organization, and we're shooting for 400 backpacks, $12.50 each, which is like a $40 item once it's full with all the different things. and we're going to give them out to the kids in the different barrios, neighborhoods here in Puerto Vallarta.
We've started with Cinco de Diciembre because that's where many of our volunteers live. And for some reason, several of our kids have moved to Jardines. It's sort of the favela, shall we say, the less expensive area near Cinco. So we're working with another group there of mothers who supplied us with names of the kids. Then we hope to go back at Christmas and reach the same kids for Christmas. This was all inspired by a little boy who was sitting here on my patio last December, and he looked at me, and he was very sad, and he said, "My mom just told me this year we get no Christmas, not any toys, but we'll have a cake." And that just broke my heart. So last Christmas, we gave to 87 children. Since Christmas, we've donated more than 80 new bikes. And right now, before school, our goal is to support 400 children with school bags and school supplies through our Vallarta School Bag Project, all through the Vallarta Abuelos.
Well, I'm reaching out to the individuals that are listening to the show today. And if you hear this, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. If you're working at one of the big resorts, or you're working at one of the big restaurants, or one of the big box stores, go to your boss and say, "Hey, we're really trying to help the kids. Get some money, get some funding. This is going to be a very, very worthwhile project." And as she mentioned, it is a tax deduction if you need to do that. So please, go to the website on Facebook, Vallarta Abuelos, and chip in with this project. Anna Marie would be very happy. I'll be happy. And all these kids, I can just imagine seeing them show up first day of school with what they need, being prepared. It's just going to make it that much easier. Plus, you're going to be able to help the community. The grandparents, the parents, single moms, as you mentioned, aren't going to have to struggle on how they're going to get this for the kids. It'll be one less thing. Maybe they'll be able to buy them a pair of shoes.
They also must supply uniforms, shoes, and students in junior high and senior high have to pay fees and bus tickets they must buy and provide their own food, their lunch every day. So it's a bit expensive.
It really is. I know Jay Sadler Project, Dennis Reich and the Jay Sadler Project just finished building a kitchen at one of the schools in San Vicente because the kids could bring their lunch to school if they had nowhere to, there was no ovens. There's, and the mothers all volunteered and said, "If you'll build a kitchen, we'll come and cook for the kids every day." So thank you to Jay Sadler and the Jay Sadler Project. They built this kitchen out there. And now the kids will have some warm food if they need it. But there's so many things. I know that there is another organization that for the neighborhood of Haritaderas, so the little town, they buy the school uniforms. And I think they bought 200 last year. We're talking shoes, socks, little skirts, shirts, jeans. There were so many kids in this little town weren't even going to school because they didn't have the clothes to wear. They couldn't afford the uniforms.
The poverty here is something perhaps your listeners are not aware of.
Oh, there is a lot of that. They need to get out of just the romantic zone and the, you know, hotel zone and the barrios that we live in, the expat community, and get into the regular neighborhoods.
Have you looked at Wikipedia, the page for Vallarta, recently?
No, I haven't.
There's a whole section on poverty in Vallarta. So, of course, if many of the kids do not have fathers, which is a...
Well, that's true. That's.
And if mom's cleaning hotel rooms, her salary really is sufficient perhaps to buy food and pay the rent, but doesn't cover the really expensive price of a school bag, which is $20 American, 400 pesos and up, and everything that needs to go in it. So we would be very grateful for any sort of support that the listeners can offer.
Okay, one more time. It's Vallarta Abuelos.
On Facebook, yes.
On Facebook, and look it up. $12.50 per bag. It's going to have everything they need. And be sure to go to the website, look it up, contact Anna Marie, and let's get this project, let's try and shoot for 500. But 400 is a great goal. We have a lot of kids that need help. And let's see if we can't grow this thing every year. So anyway, Anna, thank you very, very much for taking your time to be on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michael. God bless.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back more with the Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
You now, no one, not anyone, living on the edge of the Fontainebleau. Rocks are like elephants, the trees are like songs, the house is still standing there in Bow. Looking for you, rows of golden corn painted on the sky.
Well, we're about to close the Good Morning Wake Up Show. I want to say thank you very much to our guest today, Anna Marie Weiss with the Abuelos Group. They're trying to raise, as I said in the interview, enough money to buy 400 backpacks for kids that are very, very needy here in the Bay of Banderas. It's only $12.50 a backpack, full of supplies, the backpack, everything, and they'll give them out to the kids so they can have a more and more successful school year this coming fall. I want to remind everybody that on July 3rd at 11 a.m., we're going to have the SWAM graduation ceremony at the main auditorium here on the UCC campus. So please, if you know anybody in the SWAM program, I know many, many, many of y'all listen, the students of the SWAM, so thank you for that. And spread the word through all your students about the graduation, July 3rd, 11 a.m. Also, I remind the general audience, if you have someone, a senior citizen, that's over 60 years of age, which I don't really consider a senior citizen, seeing I'm going to have to be 65 here in about 2 weeks. So anybody over 60 can come and take the classes free. It's open to the public, and they'll have a great, great time. Also, remember, the university, starting July 2nd through the 24th, is going to have a lot of different events for children from 5 to 15 years of age. You can enroll now till July 3rd. We're hoping to have quite a few children. They're going to have all kinds of events, all kinds of crafts, music, art, drama, rugby, of course, swimming. There's just going to be a whole lot of stuff for the kids to do, and it'll give them an opportunity to meet other kids and keep busy and learn other things. And it gives the parents or grandparents a great place to have their kids come here on campus while they're out of school. They will be very, very well supervised. We'll have a lot of the students here to help. And, of course, the food, you can either pack it yourselves or they can buy stuff here on campus. If you want to find out more information about enrolling, go to the campus website, www.cuc.udg.mx. Also, I want to remind everybody, on July 6th, we'll be having the 3rd Annual Mango Festival. Hopefully, I'll have Maria de los Santos or Sergio or Dennis Reich, someone involved, on the radio show for next week. So once they be prepared for that. If you want to be on the show, if you have any information you'd like to get out to the listening audience, please contact me at my website, 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. Again, 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. Or you can contact the radio station here at Puerto Vallarta's best radio station. Before we go any further, I want to say thank you very much to Jonathan this morning for getting up early, coming in here and helping me turn on all the knobs and play the music. And he even had the air conditioning going on here. He got a little earlier than me this morning and had the air conditioner going. So thank you very much for that, Jonathan. I'm going to see you later on. I'm going to be downtown tonight in Canto's having some unbelievable stuff going on. Tracy Parks will be dressed up and calling bingo at 4 o'clock at Encanto. And then they have some unbelievable entertainment this evening. Please, if you want to have a fun night, go over to Encanto. If you don't know where it is, it's on the right before the bridge over the River Quali, going out of town, down in the Romantic Zone. 4 o'clock, the bingo starts, and it'll run until about 2 a.m. in the morning, I think. Have a lot of fun. It's a great venue for entertainment. And anyway, enjoy yourself. Well, we're out of time today. I want to thank again the two gentlemen that came out here with their out-of-the-world experiences. Appreciate that. And we'll see what happens between now and next week. See what kind of information I can put on for you next Good Morning Wake Up Show. So, again, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you to the listening audience for tuning in. I'll be back next Saturday with more silliness and more good interviews and don't know what else. So, anyway, have a great week. Let's all pray for rain. We sure need it. Thank you for listening.
104.3 FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista.